This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And today we're going to talk about some important public safety issues. You see, the country's rallied around victims of sexual harassment in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal. It inspired the Me Too movement and created a social discourse that over time may help lead to greater protections for women. But there's something about the whole conversation that's been bothering me. Why are sexual harassment and assault viewed differently from any other assault? What about the sexual nature of it allows some police, prosecutors, and even portions of our society to say it's not as bad because it was a so-called sex crime? Well, let's expand that conversation to domestic violence and stalking. It's the same conversation. What might be considered a felony if two men were to fight in the street is often considered a misdemeanor when it happens between a man and a woman in the home. Why? Because some consider it a crime involving passion, and somehow, somewhere down the line, the woman must have played a role in provoking a partner into hitting her. Today I'm going to introduce you to a woman who for years now has been living in fear of her former husband. Nicole Beverly's husband went to jail back in 2012 for aggravated stalking. Since that time, allegations of trying to hire people to kill Nicole and her family have led to new charges. Nicole, thank you for being here and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Have I touched on something important?
Yes.
Were we having a conversation that isn't entirely complete?
Absolutely. I agree with much of what you just said.
So let me ask you this. I want people to get to know you and your story. And so before we delve into how we're going to solve these issues, let's talk about the problem itself. When did you meet Kevin Beverly?
We met in college at Eastern, actually. Our freshman year we met, we started dating our sophomore year. He was a football player. He was actually a captain of the football team. I was studying social work, and he was funny, charming, seemed like a great person, was a great person when we first met.
Fell in love, got married, had a couple of children. When did it start to become apparent to you that something wasn't right?
Looking back now, knowing what I know about domestic violence, I missed a lot of early red flags when we were dating. The put-downs, isolating me from my friends, controlling what I did, who I did things with, but typically those things were followed with apologies or explanations that made me believe that it was no big deal. So I missed a lot of those in the early stages of our relationship.
We always talk about how domestic violence is non-discriminant. You are a smart, educated, and accomplished woman, and you work in social work, and yet these are signals that you missed because of the blinders that love seems to put on.
Absolutely. And like I said, he would always have explanations and apologies for his behavior, and
so you would end up taking care of him, even though he was the aggressor.
Absolutely.
Did he hit you physically?
He did. In the beginning, it was just emotional abuse. Like I said, it would begin with the put-downs, and my self-esteem was broken down over a period of time. It's not when you meet these individuals that they come at you with, you know, the physical aggression mm-hmm. and the name-calling and the abuse. It's a very slow progression of them breaking down your self-esteem, and that's exactly what happened to me. I always say, had you told me as a senior in high school that my life was going to end up this way and that I was going to end up in this type of relationship, I would have told you that there was absolutely no way. I have a very strong personality, and I never would have thought that this could happen to me, but because these individuals are so good at what they do and so good at the way they break you down over a period of time, it happens before you know it, and it happened to me before I realized what was happening.
What prompted you to finally leave?
In June of 2009, there was a very severe incident of physical aggression, and I was attempting to leave the home, and he dragged me back in by my hair and proceeded to hit me, kick me, choke me to the point where I saw stars. He then held his gun to my head. It was loaded and told me all the reasons he should and would kill me. And told me that if any of the neighbors had heard me yelling for help and the police came to the door, he would kill the police and then me if that happened. The following morning, he took my keys and my phone, so I had no way of leaving and no way of calling for help. The following morning, he made me apologize to him for almost making him kill me. He didn't let me leave the home for several days. And every single day after that, he told me what would happen to me if I told anyone or I left him, and I believed him. So until early November, late October of that year, I told no one. And I lived with it every single day. I went to work every day. I took my kids' activities every day.
And those
living
around
with
you
this.
Would never have known.
Never. Never. And I finally realized as I was at the point where I was trying to figure out how to get to that gun before he did, that if I didn't leave, he was going to kill me or I'd end up killing him in self-defense.
We are talking with Nicole Beverly. She lives in Ypsilanti Township and has turned her awful tale of being a victim of aggravated assault and stalking and alleged target of murder threats into a position of advocacy, even as the legal saga with her ex-husband continues in the court system today. And I want to make that point. It wasn't until 2012 that he finally ended up going to jail, and it wasn't for beating you up.
Correct. He served a very short time in jail in 2011 on an aggravated stalking charge that was pled down to stalking. And then he was released on probation because it was a misdemeanor crime. He then was charged in 2012 on this current aggravated stalking charge after he actually fought off probation officers and fled arrest and was missing for 5 days before he was located and arrested. And I just want to be clear that when we went to sentencing in 2012, the judge was going to release him on a Cobbs agreement with time served. So he would not have gone to prison.
And for those who don't know, a Cobbs agreement?
A Cobbs agreement basically is when you're pleading guilty, you're locking yourself into an agreement with the judge of what the terms of your sentencing would be. And that sentence was going to be time served. So he was going to essentially be released when he pled guilty.
And outside of earshot of the police and the law enforcement and the courts, he had threatened your life.
That is correct. The judge did withdraw the Cobbs agreement eventually, and he was sent to prison.
And that is the charge he is now serving, correct?
That is correct.
It is set to expire very soon, or was it set to expire even earlier, right? But now he's facing new charges.
It actually expired on October 25th.
And Kevin Beverly is now looking at some additional charges, including trying to hire people while he was inside prison to come and kill you and the two children you have together.
That is correct. He faces charges in Washtenaw, Jackson, and Wayne County at this point in time.
Through this conversation, I've been very struck, Nicole, that you are at a point in your life where you are able to tell this in an almost dispassionate and disconnected way. But every day you have to wake up and be very connected to this story, not only for yourself, but for the well-being of your children. So how is it that you have found a way to take what could be a horrifying living circumstance and turn it into something that is manageable for you?
That's a question I'm often asked, and it's hard to explain, but in some ways this has become our normal life. Over the course of the past 8 years.
I want to think about that for a second. This has become the normal way of life, and you've just had to accept it.
Absolutely. From the day I left, the threat started, the stalking behavior started, and even when there was a respite with his time in jail, it was every few years or months that I'd get another phone call about another attempt to hire from prison or some other situation that had occurred. So there's never been a long period of time when I haven't been having to deal with this or my children. So it has truly become just a part of our lives and a part of our reality.
And to this day, you believe that if he walks free from prison, he'll try and kill you?
I do. When someone is this invested in harming you over a period of, 8 years, they're not going to just give up. They're not going to stop.
There's going to be folks who are listening today, and they'll say, well, listen, the police did their job. They got him. They arrested him. He's in jail. They're looking at new charges. They're keeping him there. Prosecutors are doing that. State level involved in some capacity, State Attorney General Bill Schuette, to be specific, in bringing these most latest charges. So they're going to say, why do you feel as though you're in danger?
Well, for starters, we don't know what the outcome is going to be of these trials. We really don't know for sure that he will be convicted. And if he's not convicted, he's going to be released because he's already served his max sentence date. So that means he'll be walking free and my children and I will be in danger. And if he is convicted, the reality is that he will likely serve a sentence of anywhere from 4 to 10 years, which means once he's released and that after that period of time, we'll be in danger again. So there's no long-term solution to this situation for us. This is going to be something that I will be living with for the rest of my life.
Nicole, I'd like to thank you for spending some time today and sharing part of your story. Do you have any words of advice or wisdom for those listening that might be in need of some help today?
first and foremost, if you are in danger or you feel that the person that you're with is abusive and could be of any danger to you, please seek help. Don't take it lightly. And at this point in time, we've already had 24 murdered this year, and it's March in our state. Also, if you suspect you're in an abusive relationship, please pay attention to the red flags and warning signs, put downs, controlling behavior, isolation from your friends and your family, even if the put downs are in forms of a joke.
And is it important to remember that silence can and often is deadly?
Absolutely. And I truly believe had I not left when I left, I truly believe that either I would be dead at this point in time, or I would have killed him in self-defense. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, here in Washtenaw County, you can contact the Safe House Center 24 hours a day. Online, it's safehousecenter.org. The 24-hour helpline is 734-995-5444. And, of course, if it's an emergency, call 911. Nicole, would you be willing to kind of keep us up to date on the court proceedings and how you and your sons are managing throughout the process?
Absolutely.
That is Nicole Beverly of Ypsilanti Township, using her voice in hopes of offering strength to others despite the rather uncertain circumstances concerning her own safety and the safety of her children. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.